Thanks for listening. The following audio is a teaching from Calvary Tucson's Young Adult Ministry, Ignition. For more teachings, information, or if you'd like to support our ministry, please visit us online at ignitiontucson.com. We pray you're blessed by the message.
Verse 2, it says, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So, no, we can eat Satan. We can eat it, silly Satan. We can eat of those trees. God's not that bad. God's not that cruel. He just said that one tree in the middle of the garden, we can't eat it, and we better not touch it, or he's going to kill us. It's a little bit dramatic, but like that's how it comes across. No, we can eat of all these things. It's almost like she's trying to take the high road, but then throws her own little jab in towards God. She has an opportunity to defend the goodness of God, and she does a horrible job. Are you ever put in this position where someone challenges your friend's goodness to you, and you have the opportunity to defend someone's character, and instead of actually defending their character, you throw in a little jab of your own? You pretend to take the high road, but you're like, "Well, yeah, I can see that about this person," right? Don't we do that? Aren't we kind of crafty like that sometimes? I know I catch myself doing that. I can't believe I just chimed right in with that. We need to be more careful about this. But notice what she did. As she answers Satan, she adds an extra rule to God's word. God never said you couldn't touch the tree in the midst of the garden. He said you shouldn't eat it. So she adds to the word of God, making God seem strict. God wasn't strict at all. She also removes a word from the scripture. You see, when God said, "Of all the trees you can eat," he didn't say, "Oh, you can have some of these fruit." He said, "You can freely eat from all of these trees. It is yours. Enjoy it as much as you want. You can freely eat of this garden." She removed that word "freely" and made God seem less gracious than he really is. So she's really heading down this path of believing God really isn't that good. God is kind of strict. God isn't very gracious, is he? Now, this may be conjecture on my part, but it seems to me like for her to get there to where she's open to slander against the character of God and she's unable to defend God's character, compromise has already taken place in Eve's heart and mind. Think about it. If someone came up to you and they wanted to talk bad about your best friend, but you hang out with your best friend every day, you guys talk like every day, you are tight, there is no way there'd be any room for slander to get in that conversation. But when there's a bit of distance now, all of a sudden, oh, you haven't talked to them in a week or two, you wonder if they're mad at you. Now, all of a sudden, there's a little bit of space for someone to come and slander your friend to you, for you to actually receive that. You see, people don't dive right into sin. People don't just go right into sin. Typically, there's compromise. There's a slow compromise that happens over time. Compromise of the mind, compromise within the heart that leads the body into action, that leads the body into sin. And at this point, it seems to me like Eve was not prepared to answer the goodness of God because she was not aware of it, because she wasn't tight with the Lord. She wasn't in this personal relationship aware of the goodness of God. So this little compromise turns into this open door for the enemy. We have to stay close to the Lord. We have to stay connected to the Lord, understanding his goodness. And listen, guys, if you have tempters in your life, people who really are just tugging on you, they really discourage you in the faith, it might not be that they're so crafty like the serpent. It could just be you're not doing your diligence in your faith, right? You've perhaps made yourself vulnerable because you've stopped getting in the Word every day. You've stopped fellowshipping with other believers and praying. You've stopped making it a priority to seek God, to carve out time in your life for God. That will make you vulnerable to crafty serpents. That will make you vulnerable to the lies that Satan brings. So stop the if that's the case, if you have these deceivers in your life, stop the conversation with the snake. If people are bringing you down, do your best to just stop it until you can get strengthened in the Lord, okay? If Eve was vulnerable at this point, she should not have even engaged with the snake, but she does. She goes down that road. So recognize this. If you're vulnerable, maybe you're young in the Lord, you're still trying to figure these things out, watch out for people who are trying to snatch that seed from you, because that's what Satan does. If there's some hardness in your heart, Satan will come and try and snatch that seed away Don't even engage with the enemy. Separate yourselves from those scoffers for a little while. It's okay that you don't know the answers. It's okay if you disengage from the debate while you get established in the faith. And as you do that, guys, the enemy's voice will be drowned out. God's voice will become louder the more you seek him. But unfortunately, Eve keeps listening here. Verse 4 says, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Now, Satan goes from questioning God's goodness, questioning God's word, to outright calling God a liar. He's like, he said you wouldn't die, but he's lying to you. You're not going to die. God is just lying to you. He's holding back from you. He wants to control you. He knows that if you do this, it's actually going to be way better for you. And he's keeping you from what's good for you. That's what God is doing here. That's the lie that Satan tells Adam and Eve. That's the lie that Satan tells us. God is holding out on you. You really think honoring Jesus is like a fulfilling life? Come on, look at all the stuff, the fun stuff you'll miss out on. This is exactly how Satan lies to us. But of course, that's the farthest thing from the truth. You realize as God, your creator, he created the desires that you have. Like that little desire, those of you who've dabbled in drugs, that desire to feel good again, that's a desire God put in you called joy. He wants you to experience joy and love and hope. The sexual temptation out there, God designed you to have that kind of drive so it can be fulfilled his way. God has designed your desires and he's designed the ways in which they would be fulfilled. God knows how to fulfill you better than anybody else. But here's Satan thinking he knows better, thinking God really doesn't have your best interest in mind. God's just putting boundaries and limitations on you unnecessarily because he just doesn't want you to have any fun. That's exactly the lie that Satan tells us. But of course, those boundaries, those lines, those limitations are for our good. Think about like driving down the highway, right? Man, I hate driving down the freeway. It's so lame. It's so boring. There's like this concrete wall in the middle. What if I wanted to drive over there? I can't. I can't do that. So I'm not even gonna do it. Whatever. These stupid lines that you gotta try and stay in the lines. Like, what's the deal? How boring and lame is that, right? But consider what the freeway would be like without any of these lines and borders and boundaries. Because of these boundaries, we have the freedom to drive across the country without the fear of someone else slamming into us, right? Boundaries, borders exist to bring more freedom. The ones that God brings in our lives exist to give us more freedom, more pleasure, more fulfillment. And I want to camp out here just for a moment, talk with you guys about limitations. Okay, everybody has limitations placed on them. You have limitations on you physically. You have limitations placed in your opportunities in life. You have limitations placed on the things that you have. The Bible says that God made the rich and the poor, that as you seek first the kingdom, he'll add unto you what you need. But he doesn't add riches to everybody because he knows so many people would be torn apart if they got rich. Look at all the people who've won the lottery, right? So he puts these limitations on us for our own good. All right, we need to understand this. Something about limitations is that God will bless you just as much with your limitations as he will with your strengths. That a closed door from God is just as much of a blessing as an open door from God. And we don't always look at it that way. But we really need to learn to lean into, to embrace our limitations. This is exactly what the sin was rooted in for Adam and Eve. They were bucking against this limitation. They had one limitation that God gave them, and it was like, no, I can't be limited here. But that one limitation is what made their lives so blessed. What kept them in a true love relationship with God was that limitation, the fact that they honored that. There's one limitation that God has placed on you that will bless you if you embrace it more than any other strength that he could ever give you. And it's this limitation. Ready for it? You are not God. And you will never be God. If you embrace that, if you acknowledge God is God and he should be God, then that opens you up to every other blessing, trusting in God's provisions for your life. The enemy wants you to think, hey, you could earn your way to godhood. Think about it. And God doesn't want that because he'd be jealous. Because you like climbed up from the mud, right? It's not a coincidence that false religions teach that you can work and work and work your way to godhood. Just work and slave away until you reach like this God level. That's what religion is. It's work to be like God. And that's what the enemy was telling Adam and Eve in the garden. If you just do this step, that step, and this step, you will be like God. And so you need to rebel against this God, the God of the gospel, because that's lame. And you need to come over here and start working for your own salvation. Come over here and start earning godhood. That's not the gospel whatsoever. Only God should be God, and when he is, all is right. Now, the other lie Satan uses here is that God doesn't really know what will fulfill you. I know God said that, but come on, he's lying to you. Let me tell, come here, listen to Uncle Lucifer. Let Uncle Satan tell you what's really fun, okay? God doesn't, God's just like this cosmic killjoy, but I know what's fun, right? He's like that creepy uncle who's going to buy you beer before you're 21. It's like, okay, and as you make the mistake of leaning in to hear what he has to say, he whispers this in your ear. He says, more. That's the key. That's what you need right there. Oh man, it's so good. If you only could get more. And for some reason we're like, that sounds good. That sounds, yeah. I mean, I would like more. I would like more. More money, more drugs, more sex, more power, more, man, that sounds, Satan, Uncle Satan is right. And we start believing this lie, but it's a mirage, guys. I mean, I'm sure many of you have figured this out already. The more you do, the more you need. It's like that restaurant that has the sign in the window, free lunch tomorrow. You know, and you keep going back and you keep paying for lunch. Oh, it's tomorrow. Oh, here. And you keep paying more and more and more. And that's the thing about pleasure, the pleasure of the world. It requires more and more and more from you. It satisfies less and less and less until it takes your very life and your soul from you. You could gain the whole world according to this thinking and lose your soul, and it profits you nothing. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. Man, God doesn't know what's good for you. Come here. Come listen to Satan. I know exactly what's... But it's not. And if you still buy into this lie, guys, take a close look at Adam and Eve. These guys had everything that the world chases after. They were physically gorgeous. They had no loss of genetic information. They were formed by the hand of God, exactly how God intended them to be. They had all the sex they could want with each other in this amazing relationship. They lived in paradise, free food, right? Ease, the ease of living. It was all there for them. And it still wasn't enough. They still were like, oh, more. And they still went after it. They still bit into that hook. And they missed what so many other people miss today, and that is true fulfillment is not found in any of the trees of the garden. True fulfillment for them was found in God himself. True fulfillment for you is not found in any relationship out there or in here. It's not found in any occupation or salary or position. It's found in God. And you will never be fulfilled until you go to God, until you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you will be susceptible to that lie as long as you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her. We'll make a note of that right there. And he ate as well. Now, we're going to go more in depth next week to chapter 6 and see how this family unit broke down. But we see here that Satan won. Satan was victorious. They sunk their teeth into that fruit. They ate. They changed the course of humanity. They changed the course of the world. And ever since that day, every single one of us has at one time or another taken of the same fruit. We at one point or another in our life said, yeah, let me try more, Satan. I don't trust God. Let me do it your way. Let me do it my way, what feels good. Let's forget God. We've all done that. It's been passed down to us from Grandpa Adam. And it all started with this belief that God wasn't good. That's what this lie was rooted in. God did not know what was best for you. And so today, the same lie that comes up will be rooted in that. And the question in your heart right now, the dark days when you wonder, is God even there? Like, is God even good? How can I really know that God is good? And I'm going to tell you how you can know that. You see, there's a nuance to Eve's response to the serpent that I want to point out to you guys, and that is she refers to the tree of knowledge of good and evil as the tree in the midst of the garden. It's just a nuance, easy to miss, but she calls it as though it's the prominent tree in the middle of the garden. It's not. If you were to go back to chapter 2 and you can see the description of the midst of the garden, the first tree noted in the midst of the garden is the tree of life. It says that the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil was there as well. But the prominent tree was the tree that God provided for their eternal life. In other words, the greatest provision that God gave them, salvation, eternal life, through the tree of life in the midst of the garden, the greatest identification of God's provisions and goodness was so undermined and undervalued to Eve that she didn't even bring it up in the debate of God's goodness. She didn't even mention the tree of life in this whole conversation. God's really bad. He's really cruel. He doesn't provide for you, except for that one tree that makes you live forever, in addition to all the other amazing trees, right? If Eve were to argue the goodness of God, she could bring up the tree of life and the argument would be over. God's provisions were made known in that tree, the prominent tree in the midst of the garden. And this is the enemy's most effective way, guys, at getting you to lose faith in God's goodness, is that he gets your eyes off of the cross. He takes your eyes off of our tree of life, the tree that Jesus died on, the provisions of eternal life that God made for you and for me. If he can get your eyes off the cross, he can distract you and get you to start believing the lie that God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. God's forsaken you. The only way you can believe that lie is if you forget about the cross of Jesus Christ. And the opposite is true. The best way to remind yourself, to remind myself of God's goodness, is to remember the cross of Jesus Christ. It's to take time. We take communion regularly at this church. We do it typically once a month. And it's so that we would remind ourselves of the love of God demonstrated on the cross for us. Why this death? Lord, why did my loved one have to die? I wish I could tell you, but I know that Jesus died too. Jesus suffered death when he didn't have to. And guess what? He rose from the dead so that our loved one could have resurrection life, so that you and I could have resurrection life. God is good. Why this pain and suffering? I wish I knew. I wish I could tell you. But I know that no one suffered more in history than Jesus Christ. And he suffered so that we wouldn't have to. He paid the ultimate penalty so that we would live in paradise for all eternity and never have to suffer. A place where there's no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. But why all this sorrow now? Why all this depression? I don't know. But I know that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That he experienced it to identify with our depression, with our sorrows. That he bore our guilt and our shame on the cross. So that one day we would be completely set free from this sorrow. I don't know why we suffer. I don't know all the answers as to why there's pain and death. And the nuances of those taking place in specific circumstances around you. But I know that when I look at the cross, God is good. That God has made provisions for all of these issues. Amen? God is truly good. So guys, as I close this out, I want to encourage you, keep your eyes on the tree of life. Keep your eyes on the cross. Continue following Jesus, and you will not be susceptible to the lies of the enemy. Stay close to Jesus. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And if you maintain that relationship, you will be able to sniff a slander of God a mile away, and you won't have any of it. You won't be susceptible to it. Amen. Let's pray. So Father, we do just thank you for the word that you've given us tonight. Lord, the lesson that we've learned, the ability to equip ourselves, that we have a real enemy and that we need to be on guard against the works of this enemy, that we cannot slip into complacency. Lord, that inaction is one step, puts us one step away from compromise, one step away from a fall. So we want to maintain, Lord, a healthy proximity to you, Jesus, that we would maintain a healthy love relationship, not out of religion, not out of obligation, but simply enjoy knowing you, enjoying your word, enjoying the fact that you care for us, Lord God, that we can cast our cares upon you. And so I pray for the men and women sitting before me, that you would anoint them with the Spirit, give them discernment to recognize the voice of the enemy and to discern from your voice in their life, Lord God. that they would be strengthened, that this week the schemes of the enemy would not prevail against them. Lord, it's been said that you have plans for our life. You love us and have plans for our life. Satan hates us and he has plans for our life as well. And I pray that his plans would fail. Having heard this message tonight, that his schemes would fail, that he would flop on his face, Lord God, trying to come against my brothers and sisters that are here tonight. That they would be successful at overcoming the kingdom of darkness, that we would fight it, that we would storm against the gates of hell with the tree of life, with the gospel message, Lord, to our neighbors, our family, our friends, our coworkers, that this would be effective as we've understood your word, that it would go forth and go out into this community. We love you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.